what is your stance on the unsolicited picks? Because here's a big thing. A lot of people don't know this about you. Well, again, see, this is the thing we get into. We've known each other for a long time.
Some people do know.
I was about to say some people.
They know.
Hold on. So what some people know, and they may know, longtime listeners, perhaps first-time callers. That's my new thing now.
Yep.
They might know that you might be a Renaissance man of sorts. I'll just leave it at that.
I'm in the streets.
Okay.
I'm in these streets.
But even in that vein, in that ballpark, you know where I come from.
Yep.
You know what I do.
You was in ditches.
So I need, there's going to be some negotiations. Some, my people are meeting with your people before the Nakatomi takeover. You're not, I'm not going to wake up to a random doo-doo, and then there's a random, there it is.
Correct.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. The unsolicited, the unwarranted.
I'm not a fan of the unsolicited. Hold on, time out.
Context. If there's a conversation leading up to it, that's different. I'm not talking about that.
If you're not a slow Tuesday I get the unsolicited, I'm cool with it.
Wait a minute. What do you mean if you're not a slow Tuesday?
No, if they're not a slow Tuesday.
Okay.
So if you are the Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Send whatever the fuck you want. I'm going to fucking open my phone and be like, oh, word, this is dope. Mm-hmm. But if you are a slow Tuesday and you send me that shit, I'm like, eh.
So you can't be slow Tuesday. You got to be on the reg.
Correct.
But even if you got regular communication, and I mean you guys have regular board meetings, more board meetings than the Iron Fist TV show had. If you don't,
why do you hate so much on that fucking show?
You guys,
it wasn't that bad.
Clearly, I'm holding on to resentment, okay? Because there was more board meetings than any fisticuffs, and you know it. You got a show called Iron Fist. There's no fisting. I don't even think that fist glowed in the dark until the end. All we had was board meetings. Printers were out of ink. It was ridiculous.
Bro, he was trying to get his company back.
I'm sure he was.
Bruce tried to do that shit too. Stop.
Yeah, but Bruce wasn't having board meetings. He was going, "Where's he?" You know what I mean? So
he did not do that.
He had a little bit.
He didn't have a suit on. You know that didn't happen.
There was a lot of Bruce, but there was just enough Batman. You know what I'm saying?
He was in a Lamborghini.
He wasn't a Lamborghini.
He was driving his shit.
He wasn't a Lamborghini.
He had hose in a fucking fish tank.
Mm.
Like, Bruce was good. Bruce was fine.
Bruce was doing his thing. He was a little hung up on Katie Holmes. We're talking about Batman Begins tonight, folks.
It always goes back to Batman.
So if somebody were to send unsolicited naughty, naughty, naughty girl pictures, then you're obligated as said recipient of said pictures to comment on the context.
No, you're not obligated.
You're not? Okay.
There is zero obligation.
So you can ghost.
Ghost the fuck out of it.
You're a proud supporter of the ghost movement, and I've always loved you for that.
Oh, bro, I ghost people so bad.
See, now I'm going to get hit up by mutual friends and friends of the show that contact me, that will reach out to me every now and then and say, hey, well, so what dirty pics we talking about, you know?
So I'm okay with those.
If it's going to be that, though, if it's going to be that, whatever it is, if it's the naughty, naughty, at least let it be juicy, juicy.
I mean, even if it's like something, first of all, if you have my number.
Right.
Then, okay. All right. So you've already passed the first test.
Mm-hmm.
You got my number.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get it, and if I don't even like it, just to be nice, you're going to get a thumbs up.
You're going to get a thumbs up. That not passive aggressive, but not super interesty either. You know,
no, like we're not going to go any further than that. You get a thumbs up.
You get a thumbs up. Yeah. Thanks for that.
I appreciate you. Thanks for the support. And then we got to go.
Isn't it funny? The whole the whole language of the texting and all that, you know, when you're ready to just end the conversation, sometimes you just end with a
emojis. I will emoji the fuck out of somebody.
See, yeah. I like the randomness of it all. I really do. And I think that's one of the benefits of communication in the modern world. I like the randomness. I like that you can respond with a GIF, a GIF, depending on what side of the pond you're on.
I'm a GIF guy. GIF.
I like a GIF. I like a good GIF. Yeah,
I'm not a GIF. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, it's a GIF.
I like a nice little vid. I like a nice little song, a little Spotify share. I'm always in the mood. It's just, if you're going to send me some daddies,
and some Totskis, and they're not on point.
I'm just saying, if you're going to do it,
they got to go.
Do it right, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We don't play with that.
We don't play with that. You know? Oh
my God. You know what? But we've always been on that same page.
We have always been on that same page. Whether it's a white queen, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Or a goblin queen. You know what I mean?
Hold on. What's she gobbling now?
Oh.
You are a barbarian.
Every town has an Elm Street.
You know, when family and friends get together, there can also be a lot of drinking and drugging, and that's why it's so important to pick your friends, the party you party, you know what I'm saying.
Meow.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Ghosts and goblins.
Yeah, used to be shithouse.
It's a good change.
Got to catch the red eye.
Welcome to Comic-Con's podcast, a geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the motherfucking rest of us? People that don't take this shit that seriously. And if you were wondering when we were going to get to the goods or get to the goodies, folks. The goodest and the best and the greatest. Here we are on the Raggedy Edge. My name is Nick Stevens. I am your host. And joining me on the ZWM Box 350, returning guest, friend before you had a friend, co-host before you had a co-host with the most, Mr. James motherfucking Schuler.
The rhythm section himself.
The rhythm section. We're going to get a little bit of a session going here. A little bit of a session. A session that'll feature the rhythm section. Oh, man, you always carried a rhythm, you know?
That was our thing, but it was funny because it was me and you were always on the same page.
We always were from day one when we met. Yep.
Day one. I was like, all right, cool. He gets it. I fuck with him.
Folks, we've told the story ad nauseum, so why not tell it again? We've picked up some new listeners and some demographics over the years. So we were in an abandoned warehouse, naturally, as one does, years ago in our 20s. No,
in an old school alternative band.
Old school alternative band. And hey, you got to do a photo shoot in an old abandoned warehouse because you got to make. Not? Because you got to make a press kit so you can get some gigs, and God forbid you learn some covers to get more gigs. Nope, you got to play an hour and a half of originals because people really give a shit. Newsflash, folks, they don't.
Nope.
And if we could go back in time, we probably should have maybe worked some covers into the flow.
We should have. I mean, we could have done a lot of them.
Right.
We could have been good.
It was early 2000s, baby.
Great at covers.
Mid 2000s.
We had it in front of us, and we were like, originals.
We're going to do an hour and a half.
We're only going to do 80s, Joel.
And we'd be playing in these dive bars. And I think his girlfriend was even like trying to be like a manager at one point. So we had like on the shitty ass flyer we made from said pictures from said abandoned warehouse. It was like, for booking call, boop, 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 you know? And then she would like hook it up with a gig, I guess. But I don't even know if that came to fruition. We always play in these dive bars. Wasted.
Early 2000s. We played for booze.
We did.
It is what it was. We never got paid. So
we did get paid a couple times, but then we spent the money on more booze.
Exactly. Yeah. We got paid at hard times when we're like, just put it towards our debt.
Wasn't that wild? They paid us so much money. It was like $500 back then.
And then gone.
Gone. Yeah. $500 split between five people plus free beer.
It's $100 a person.
Because we didn't have to pay the Congo player, right? Sorry, Ryan, if you're listening.
Ryan, I love you so much.
I don't know.
I actually have to still see him in person, in real life, in the flesh.
I talked to him. I've talked to him a couple times. I think he listens to the show. I'm not even saying anything disparaging against him. I remember us, I think he was actually one of the ones that was trying to keep us on track. Like, guys, we should have like an account and like organize our money and like save up, get new equipment.
He was trying.
Yeah, we were just, what? And I spent the money. I spent our band money on booze. I was like, guys, I got it. I'll keep the cash. I'll be the treasurer.
You were the worst treasurer.
Oh, I spent it all, baby.
All time.
Happy endings. Here we come. Cash, baby.
All right, cool. Yeah, just pay some cash. It's all right. I had cash.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, give it to the singer. Dollar bill.
It's all good because you hooked me up with a homegirl, and I was like, all right, bet. That works for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That definitely happened.
Yeah.
It definitely happened.
Oh, it happened.
and some mutual friends of ours were so upset.
They were like, wait, what?
They were like, oh, hell no. Nah, the drummer took her?
Yep. He got skills to pay the bills.
So I say all that to say we go way back. You know, we got history. We've been on the same page, you know?
Yeah, we've been friends for 2 decades.
That's nuts, right?
It's been 2 decades, dude.
Mm, 2 decades.
Yeah. Like, there's not many people who are like, all right, look, I've had solid friends for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, not a lot of people can say that.
Not a lot of people can say that. And not a lot of people can say that they've maintained those friendships and kept said friendships. You know what I'm saying? And some of us disappear for a little bit, but we still manage to reconvene.
It's all right. You got to drop off, but nigga, I'll be back.
That's, you know... You come back. You keep coming back. And I love it.
I'm here to say, sorry, you're stuck with me for life.
I know it.
Like, it is what it is.
You're stuck with me, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to take that. So.
And right. I have to say, even though we might not always agree on certain, how should we say, presentations of the comic book adaptation variety, you know?
Correct.
We don't always concur. Sometimes you hate on something, think something's dog shit, and I'm like, hey, I actually kind of liked it. I thought it wasn't bad. And
vice versa.
And a vis-a-vis.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis.
Because when I see the question, I'm in.
Hey, I'm in with the question, no doubt.
Why you?
I don't get as hyped as you.
No. Motherfucker, you be hating on the question.
Hey, don't you try to turn this into a DC cast.
No, hold on. No. We'll get to X-Men in a minute.
We talking Marvel.
Let's talk about the question.
Well, let's talk about Fast and Furious, okay? Now, I finally got...
Greatest franchise of all time.
I finally got around to seeing every single last one of these. I spent an entire week.
Zeph made you do it, didn't he?
I watched all of them. And by all of them, I watched a YouTube video that was about 20 minutes long that broke down all of them. Okay, in like super fast speed. Pun intended. The YouTube video itself, while it wasn't furious, was so fast in breaking down these Fast and Furious movies. And I have to say, I don't think I'm missing the mark when I say I think it boils down to what one thing these movies are all about. I'm gonna pull this out, and I think you'll appreciate this. I really do. I mean this in all 100% respect. The Fast and Furious movies, right? Guy shows up. He says, hey, you got a car. I got a car.
God damn it.
We got a car.
I hate you so much.
Doesn't that sum it up? I got a car.
No.
You got a car.
No.
We got a car.
That's not how it was back then.
Don't you change that channel.
No, no.
Don't you change that channel.
No, I'm putting it on X-Men 97.
Okay.
And we're just going to do this shit. And I'm going to have it in the background while I'm talking.
That mic is so good. Even when you're speaking to the wall behind you, it's still picking you up crystal clear.
Oh, my God. I love this thing so much. You got to get one.
I know. It's on the list.
I'm about to fuck around and get you one.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
I got a birthday coming up. So, you know, I'll be perusing. That's what happens when you get older. You just start buying yourself presents. You know?
Yeah, why not?
You know? It's my birthday.
I want it. It's like J.G. Wentworth.
877 cash. 877 cash now.
It's my money and I need it now.
And I need it now. Sometimes you need a Kendra Lust flashlight, you know?
Hold on. What?
Huh? Wait, what? What? Sometimes? What? Huh? I don't know what you're talking about.
You done fucked up my whole shit.
No, I'm sorry. They're not on sale or anything recently. It's not my fault. Huh?
I wouldn't expect that to be on sale.
No, it's not my fault. They're 25% off for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Wait.
Come on. It's not my fault. These Brandy Love and Kendra Lust fleshlights are on sale over Mother's Day weekend. You know, because they're.
Love Brandy Love.
How can you hate her? Let's talk about it. Brandy Love. She's been in the business for a while.
For a minute.
Brandy Love. The best part about doing this, too, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but when our podcast goes to Spotify, Spotify has AI and other features now, so that now when the podcast episodes are uploaded into these platforms, they actually break these platforms down into the platforms, rather, break the shows down into chapters.
Yeah.
So you can actually like see the chapters based on what we talk about.
So we're going to have a Brandy Love chapter?
So if you do a let's talk about it, you know, because the AI running in the background is like, oh, they're going to talk about they're switching gears, you know? Like I guarantee if I just go switching gears, Richard Gere, switching gears. Now we're going to have a Richard Gere chapter. Let's talk about it. Was the gerbil reality? Who knows? Was it fake? Maybe it was an urban myth.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, but we remember it. Shoelaces and the escalators. Let's talk about it. Do you remember the escalators with the shoelaces and the bloody shoelaces?
Do.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's not a memory that I'm just making up.
So if we can recast
yes.
these X-Men as adult film stars.
I'm sure we've never done this on any podcast episode ever before. I'm sure it's never come up.
Brandy Love, definitely Ice Queen.
Ice Queen?
She's Emma Stone.
Okay, wait a minute.
Emma Snow, sorry.
DC. White Queen.
White Queen.
You're going DC on me again.
All right, White Queen.
And it's Emma Frost. Emma Frost,
whatever. Whatever that bitch name is.
She doesn't have ice power. She's just a White Queen.
Yeah, all right. She's White Queen.
They can turn into a diamond.
Yeah. And then that motherfucker, Mr. Marcus, is Colossus.
Wait a minute. Porn star, Mr. Marcus. I don't think I know that guy.
Is Colossus. I mean, he always got them Timberland boots on and shit.
You gotta know your male porn stars, folks. It's very important. But I like where this is going. Can we get a... what's her name? Sophia... What's her name as Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor? Is it Sophie or Sophie? Sophie, Sophia. She's definitely of the Brazzers Mill variety.
I know who you're talking about.
Sometimes she does the mom swap.
Yo, mom swaps, that's my shit.
I think it's the Sophie Phillips. I could be wrong.
Lauren Phillips.
Lauren Phillips. Lauren Phillips.
That's Jean Grey. Jean Grey.
Lauren Phillips. I did it. I did the Sophie's Choice. I couldn't even get it right.
Yeah.
All right, Domino. That's a little bit tough.
I'm thinking interracial. I'm going interracial with
okay,
this.
Okay, we're going interracial.
Yeah, yeah. So a little mulatto, some mixed.
Jesus.
Chick. What's her name? Missy something. It's this hot ass like half black chick. She's hot as fuck, but it's Missy something.
Okay, yeah. So Diamond Jackson is going to be Storm. That's out. That's not up for debate. Done. I'm sorry.
Sold.
I'm sorry.
Sold.
Everybody's got to have six packs, and they got to be stacked.
Yep.
Brandy loves that White Queen, though. I can't get over that.
No, you can't beat it.
Can
you
somebody can't. AI that and send that into us, please? Can we get it?
I know someone has the tech. Please make this happen.
Let's see, because we got to get back to the male porn stars. I don't know. I guess I'll throw, you know, he's old but not forgotten. Certainly not obsolete. I'm going to throw that Evan Stone in there as Hank McCoy Beast. We'll cover him
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I can
in
blue, see that. Blue. I can see that. You know what? Possibly Cable.
Oh, he could probably do a Cable, yeah. Yeah. Because he's older, yeah, with the white hair. Yeah, just cut. He'd have to cut his hair, but, you know, yeah, maybe he could do a man hair, bun. Yeah.
I could see him as a Cable.
Got to know those male porn stars, folks. How about a Jack Napier as Bishop? Because I love the name.
Of course.
And he's great. He gives Charlie Chase a run for her money. And let's do
Isaiah Maxwell.
Mm.
Who's he going to be? All right, hold on. Let's see. Who? Mr. Sinister.
Okay, Sinister. Perfect. Perfect.
Yep.
Let's throw in, let's see, we're really on a run. Let's throw in Asa Akira, depending on what side of the island you're on. Let's throw her in as Psylocke. Okay, she's not in our little mural right here, but let's throw her in there, okay?
Easy. Yep.
By the way, folks listening, we realize this is an audio format. Maybe this won't go up on YouTube, maybe not. But please follow along. Take some time out of your busy day to look up some of these names if you don't know who we're talking about.
Half the people listening, they know exactly who
we're talking about. I think so. I think so. Because the folks listening to the show by now, I hope they would know that we're not the kind of show that's like,
well, actually,
no.
You know?
All right. Here's the biggest thing.
Okay, lay it on me. Rogue?
Who's our Nightcrawler?
Oh. It's probably going to be one of those skinnier millennial guys that I like to see in some of these aforementioned mom swaps.
James Dean. Done. So, all right, I figured it out. Never mind.
It's James Dean with two E's, folks. If you have problems looking it up. Kurt Wagner. Let's cast that rogue before we get the heck out of Dodge.
All right.
Because that's clutch.
Okay. Who?
And yes, I'm still not opposed to Kiki Palmer playing her in the live action. I don't care. But I know.
I just don't understand why you think that.
It's because I saw that. I think it was her. I don't even think it was digital or fan art or AI bullshit. I think she dressed up. I always get a big... See, this is actually a serious opinion of mine. I always get a big turn on when male or female, that's right, this is going to be a chapter.
Oh, here we go.
When men, man or woman, actor, actress, what have you, willingly expresses such a passion for a comic book character, especially when you would not see that coming, you know, especially like when Ben Kingsley's like, you'll never see me coming, like that.
Amazing. Right.
But like it's like Ben Mendelsohn in a press junket for something completely unrelated says he would love to play Doctor Doom, and I lose my mind because I'm like, Ben Mendelsohn, you're like this amazing dramatic actor, and I never saw it coming in a million years that he would be like into playing Doctor Doom, and now I can't unsee it. Then Kiki Palmer posts this like self-made, maybe her assistant helped her with it, who knows, like video of her dressed up as Rogue, flying around doing stuff and being all cute and saying, hey, sugar. And now I can't unsee it, and I'm like, the fact that she's like into that makes me happy. You know what I mean? That's what I'm getting at.
Adult femme actress Rogue.
That doesn't do anything for you. You're just moving on to that doesn't ever get you hyped.
You know my taste.
That's true. I do know your taste.
Yeah. I'm like, no.
You like the flat blacks. The flat blacks.
The flat backs. Flat backs.
The Freudian slip.
Yeah.
You actually specifically don't like the flat blacks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nah. I don't know if they're hot.
Okay.
But I'm just a flat back lover. It's what I do.
Flat back lover. Nothing wrong with it.
God damn. Okay. You know what? I'm gonna go with like an old school joint. Cytheria.
That is old school. I haven't heard that name in a hot minute.
Super old school.
I have not heard that name since the days of PersianKitty.com. If you don't know, you googs.
Yep. I'm going with Cytherea. I'm going with Cytherea for Rogue. That's who I want.
I could almost see, because I really want that X-Men 92 animated Rogue.
Yes.
You know? But I also want her to be able to have that Southern charm, you know?
Yeah, but they don't talk a lot.
They do in the ones I watched.
No, I don't care about no plot. I'm just trying to get to the business.
Don't you get a little, I don't know, nostalgic for things of old, for things of yesterday, you know, yesteryear?
No.
When you watch that old vintage 90s, 80s porns, they got a lot of story to them that kind of like amps up the actual romance.
Actually, sometimes, yeah, because if I skip too far ahead, I'm like, oh shit, hold on, I missed too much of the plot. And then I will rewind.
Yeah, I don't want it to just rush into it. I like a little bit of foreplay.
Yeah, and they're just like bum 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 bum, and they're talking shit, and I'm like, right. All right, bet.
Right. So if we get a Rogue in the brown jacket with the green and yellow, you know,
we need Rogue and Gambit.
Mm.
Now I don't know who Gambit would be, but that scene.
Siren Demure, let's make it happen.
Yes! I don't care what the fuck she plays.
Give her the curls. Or just go nuts with it and have Jada Stevens show up, you know?
That's just okay. Have them all pull up.
Have them all pull up.
Her, D. Williams, all of them.
So how about that X-Men 97?
Okay, so X-Men 97. X-Men 97 is the best show of the year.
It is probably not only the best show of the year, but certainly the best animated show I think I might
have
ever seen. Now, I know that's a lot to say, and some people might be like, sacrilege, you know. I mean, as far as a show developing its characters, having a story, and not just a story, but like an engaging story where you're like, oh, shit, and having the cliffhangers and the plot twists, and the script, I mean, just
everything,
and involved. the action,
you know? The script. I mean, I can't even explain to you how I was brought to tears multiple times during these last like two episodes.
I got a little misty eyed myself. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you couldn't help it.
What is it about? Now, is it, you think, do you think that there is any benefit to the fact that this was already something that most people knew? Like, we already had an X-Men 92, people know who the X-Men are. So that obviously the pressure was on for this to be successful. But do you think the fact that we already had, they knew they had an audience, and we talked about it before recently.
Yeah.
They already knew they had an audience that was growing up with this. Do you think that played into this at all? Or do you think it's just that good that it would have been successful no matter what, no matter who watched it?
So I wanted to give credit to the writers because honestly, like, so they knew their core base and
dads.
They knew, yeah, 40-year-old men. And so we were watching this shit and we loved to see it continued.
Love it.
But the way they did it, it was beautifully written. So honestly, I'm going to give a lot of credit to the writers because just the way they did things. I mean, I was bitching up.
Dude, and I don't know why he got fired, but the main showrunner, Bo DeMeo, I think.
Yeah.
He's been very vocal about promoting the show, despite the fact that he was terminated before it got released. And he's already said that season two is in the can.
Yeah.
So, like, they've at least, I don't know if they've finished animated everything, but they've at least written everything out. And you can tell it's like they thought everything through. Like, when you're watching this, like, they've thought of everything.
Yeah.
They're pulling in multiple storylines from multiple comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think the original show did what it had to do to set the characters up. And it had to adapt several storylines that either people didn't know and kind of maybe dumb it down for people that weren't initiated.
Yeah.
This doesn't do too much dumbing down. This just doesn't really hold your hand.
It's full throttle.
And yet, I feel like you could still come into this without knowing anything about the X-Men.
And one thing that I loved, let's talk about the old school outfits. The costumes.
The throwback not only to the 90s, but then through some change of events, folks, spoilers, they actually put on their older 80s outfits.
Jean in the dress with the fucking pointed mask.
Oh.
Yo, I fuck with that Cyclops.
I've always known and been accustomed to the 90s, you know, with the belts, all the little pockets, because Jim Lee loves drawing little pockets and pouches on everybody.
So many
pouches for days.
Him and Rob
Liefeld, like, who created Deadpool. Everybody's got to have pockets.
So many pockets. It's like the fucking Batman utility belt. But all over your body.
All over. But well, you're right. When Psych went back to that original X-Men arcade game fucking costume.
Yeah. And then he gave Cable his costume.
Mm.
He was like, put this on. And I was like, oh, shit. So Cable had pockets in his back. I don't even know how he can reach those.
Right.
But
don't worry about it.
Pockets in the back.
He's got telekinesis. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're right. He just pulled them out with his mind.
Wolverine putting on the brown suit.
The second I saw the brown suit, you're the first person I thought about.
Mm.
Because you're the only person I know who likes the brown suit.
Love that brown suit. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, I know the yellow came first, technically. You know, back in whenever he debuted and fought the Hulk in Canada and whatever.
Yeah.
But that brown suit. Something about that brown.
Fuck with that brown suit.
It's like my Batman 89, because that was my first introduction to him. You know, was the brown suit. And then I would see him in the yellow suit in the 90s, thinking that was the new suit, when really that was just a callback to the old suit.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's how it is, baby. And then Rogue even throwing on her green, you know?
She threw on the green, and then she was wearing Gambit's jacket for a while.
Mm, yes, she was.
So that shit was sick. And so for me, for like one of those things, like I was like, all right, I know Nick's going crazy. You were going crazy because like all the costume switches and shit. And like with Cyclops, with Jean, with Rogue,
with Storm, with
Wolverine. Oh, of course, Storm.
Those go-go boots.
Bro. I mean, the Black Storm. I mean, not skin, but the black suit Storm.
Can you imagine Diamond Jackson wearing that costume? God damn.
Yo, call it. Take my money.
Take my money. You know what I'm saying? And she ain't got to tell me to weather my mind or.
Yeah, no. Then where we going to wear this dick? But it was so cool. Like, everything they did. And, like, they had fucking Xavier. He had the brown jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
They went hard. Honestly, one of my favorite people from this show is Nightcrawler.
Oh, he's great in this.
He's so amazing.
So with the season finale, with the final showdown with Bastion, I mean, you know shit's going to go south. But you don't know how far south. You don't know if we're going to lose anybody.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job of holding that suspense of like, well, somebody could die, because they killed off Gambit and so many other mutants at Genosha in episode 5. And it doesn't seem like we're going to get, like, I really thought they were going to kind of just wrap it up with some time travel shit because of Cable.
And just have it done. Yeah, get it
but
done.
But we're not. I think the stakes are real. And I think, spoiler, we're going to talk about it in a little bit towards the end. But, you know, we're going to get some Apocalypse and that might change some things. But the fact that they even brought in the cameos, like, let me get your thought on this. I mean, we got Steve Rogers trying to talk the president down, right, like, from blowing up Asteroid M.
Yeah, so we had Steve Rogers, we had Tony Stark.
We had Doc Strange doing a magic surgery in the dark.
Doc Strange, we had Daredevil.
You had Daredevil. How about that Daredevil?
Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger, that was dope.
Yeah, I was like, wow, deep cut. So they had them pull up.
Silver Samurai just watching from a rooftop.
Yeah, he didn't do shit.
It was cool to see them, but it was really cool to see Daredevil because obviously we're going to get Daredevil.
He was trying.
In the live action.
Yeah, he was fighting.
He was fighting. He was trying to fuck some shit up.
Yeah.
And I really liked the I love the idea of seeing these guys again, but I love the idea even more of possibly getting them back in some capacity on their own. You know? Now, whether that means we get the Spider-Man 98.
No, but, no, you did see Mary Jane and Peter Parker.
I did.
Okay. All right. Make sure you saw them. And I was just like, you know what? We might get a revamp of all these other shows.
I'm ready for it.
I've been preaching for it for the second this show came out.
I'm okay if we don't get another Avengers, because the Avengers we've had kind of our fill.
Yeah, but, I don't want the Avengers.
But it was cool seeing T'Chaka, like the original Black Panther, fucking shit up with the cape. I always loved that cape.
Yeah, he went hard. How about Morph going Incredible Hulk?
How about Morph laying next to Wolverine in the hospital bed and saying, I love you. As Gene. Because let me tell you something right now, Shula, and I mean this wholeheartedly. If I'm in the hospital bed and you have the ability to shapeshift into anybody,
I'm going to turn into Jin, and I'm going to tell you that I love you.
I was going to say turn into Diamond Jackson and give me a good time. But yeah, I mean, that works too. That probably makes more sense.
No, sorry.
You're not going to.
I'm not sucking you off. But I'm going to let you know I love you.
Because why is it got to be sucking me off? Why can't it be
what else was you expecting from Diamond Jackson?
Little Totskis, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Little Gropsies?
No. I'm going to turn into your wife.
He's very sensitive about this, folks.
And I'm going to let you know I love you. And then
well, I appreciate it.
I'm going to turn into nephew. And he's going to be like, I'm going to be like, Daddy.
Oh, don't. Hopefully you don't have to turn into 7-year-old Seth.
No, I will turn into both of them.
Oh, I was about to say, because I hope that I'm going, further down the road when he's, a grown man and not...
Yeah. I'm just saying, if this shit was tomorrow...
Okay.
Daddy.
Pull through, ninja. I'm like, wait a minute.
Nigga, get your ass up. You like, hold on, that's not my son.
Wait a minute.
Get up.
Because I'm always thumping.
Don't.
Because I'm always thumping. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Hmm. Can we talk about this Wolverine savagery?
Savage.
Magneto wasn't playing with his bitch ass.
No, he wasn't. He was like,
all right, well, I mean, look, your body's made of metal, and it's kind of my thing.
It's the dumbest thing that's never been explored in any of the comics, at least from my recollection, until Fatal Attraction in the 90s. When he finally pulled, I mean, I'm sure there's probably references somewhere where he threw him across a room or something. But when I first read that in Fatal Attractions, and I talked about it in the last episode with Powell too,
yeah,
it blew me away. This was around the time I was really into X-Men comics. It was like that Chris Claremont and Jim Lee, and then of course going into Fabian Nietzsche. I'm probably butchering that. With Adam Kubert and Andy Kubert, the brothers, they were doing the drawing. And then it would go on to Larry Hama when he would start writing for Wolverine. Larry Hama, whose name you might recognize from the G.I. Joe cartoons and comics. So that whole era, that whole early 90s, probably 92 to 94, that whole run, 92, maybe 95, that was just that was my jam. That was my bread and butter, man.
Yeah.
And I would say anybody out there that's not initiated or just wants to get brush up on some fucking classic X-Men, just dive in around 92 to 96. Chris Claremont and Jim Lee. Start there and then you're golden.
Yeah.
You're golden. Because that's what the bulk of this is based off of. We got several storylines at once that they're pulling from.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love how they're blending shit.
Well, because they need to, because we don't need predictability.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're dropping shit and everyone's like, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. We need plot twists. We need irony. We need all of that.
And the tone is everyone's still terrified of these motherfuckers, even though they just saved the planet again.
Again. You know, like all of you people would be dead.
Who's the MVP? Because I was going to say Rogue, but I feel like...
Magneto, baby.
You don't even think Jubilee moved up a couple notches on your impressive build?
First of all, she was never impressive.
But she did kind of impress me by the season finale.
No, I mean, you know what? She went into fight mode.
When she went into full fight mode with Bastion, there's that scene where he was like, what are you going to do?
She went in.
Sprayed me with the 4th of July. And she was like, yeah, never heard that before. And she went she went full Roman candle on his face.
Yeah.
His face was melting.
Yeah, so her and fucking, what's his name?
Sunspot came out.
Sunspot came out.
It's about time you went full Torch.
That motherfucker. Yeah, he's basically a fake-ass Human Torch. He's reverse Human Torch.
Rogue did throw the fuck down, though. I mean, she threw his ass to the fucking moon.
Rogue went in. Well, first of all, you done killed her, boo.
Right.
Like, Remy gone.
So, I was wondering how they were breathing in the upper atmosphere, and I had to googs it. Apparently, when they landed on that part of the moon, you can actually, apparently in the MCU, or in the Marvel Universe, you can actually breathe on that part of the moon. Because I think that's where the Watcher hangs out.
In the moon?
Yeah, he has a little, I don't want to say headquarters because it sounds lame, but he does. He has like a little home like on the moon. That's like those statues on the moon that they were around. That was part of an old headquarters that the Kree built. The Kree built that there.
See, I feel like the Watcher would be a little further out in the galaxy so he can watch shit.
You would think. I mean, I think he has the ability to like watch everywhere, but he just happens to have like a little condo. like a little timeshare, you know.
Timeshare.
Because I think even the Inhumans were hanging out there on the moon for a little bit.
Jesus Christ!
So I think that's what I mean. Because you got to think like X-Men '60s, '70s when things are really coming out.
The moon, yeah, Kennedy, etc.
Let's put people on the moon.
Yeah,
you know.
So Rogue went hot, but I love Nightcrawler. In fight scenes, Nightcrawler was on point.
What about teleporting
people back and forth and shit and moving people around? And he was like,
bro,
dude, he was on it.
What about him praying next to the Xavier and and Magneto when they're like trapped in each other's minds and they're like kind of,
yo, that shit hit deep.
It was deep, right?
Because he's like super Catholic and he was just like, all right. Y'all niggas need to get your shit together.
Look, I ain't gonna lie. I'm not the most
get it together.
I am not the most religious person in the world, but somebody's got to pray during these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Because this is some crazy high stakes shit.
The highest of stakes.
And of course, like they're both like lobotomized, and we have to get them out of their weird mental astral plane because we're like, look, guys. Hey, no offense, but there's some shit popping off. So
we about to die, and if y'all don't pull up.
Rogue's holding up that fucking rock.
The rock symbol.
Storm's trying to get some winds, but she's like, oh yeah, I'm in space.
Yeah. Sorry. You're not going to get that there.
I always wondered how she would do like on other planets where maybe they didn't have the same like, I mean, I guess you could get wind and water anywhere, but what if you're on a planet with no...
She's fucked.
Right.
You take her to Mars, it's over.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she'd be able to use wind on Mars.
Wind, no water.
Would she still say, like, wind from Nebraska?
No, like, she'll get the wind, but she ain't getting no water.
Listen to me, spirits. Actually, she is on Mars. I think she's on Mars in the books, in the comics, as we speak.
All right, now I gotta look that shit up.
Speaking of which...
Where's my encyclopedia?
Where is your Marvel encyclopedia? Because you can't do a Marvel podcast without doing a Marvel. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Okay, so what edition is that? Was this the 5th, 6th, 7th edition? I can't even tell.
With an introduction to Stan Lee.
Because I think I had one like back in like 05 or 06. But I'm sure they've updated them over the... That, these encyclopedias, folks, if you go to a Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore...
Barnes & Noblis.
Barnes & Noblis, they have these encyclopedias. And I got to tell you, it's a nice read on the toilet.
It is because you were talking about Rachel Summers. I was like, who the fuck is that? You're like, oh yeah, that's Scott and Jean's kid. I was like, all right, let me pull my shit out.
So the show ends, folks, spoilers, with Asteroid M miraculously stops falling towards Earth. However, it also just completely disappears. And I guess it's ripped through time. Forge can't find him with all his ingenuity.
Forging.
Bishop shows up saying, hey, my man, we're about to be friends. But I cut my mullet, so you don't have to worry about that. And then we cue to, I guess, ancient Egypt, where the X-Men show up, at least most of them show up, to save a young En-Sabah-Nur, a.k.a., if you don't know by now, if you're not initiated, Apocalypse.
That's Apocalypse.
The first mutant. You got it? You got it pulled up here? Oh,
Number
no,
one.
you got Rachel
Oh,
Summers.
no. I got Rachel.
Okay, so keep that up. Yeah, so we got Rachel, right? Rachel! She technically shows up at the end of this too, in the future with Psyche and Jean. And because you were like, who's that witch lady that showed up at the end?
Yeah.
And that's Lady Ascani.
And I was so confused. I was like, who's this bitch?
She's technically Rachel Summers, which is the daughter of Jean and Scott. Because I remember reading, and this is getting full fucking nerd here,
Go.
Adventures of Jean and Cyclops, or Adventures of, maybe it's even Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, where it was like a 4 to 5 issue mini run where it was just Psyche and Jean in the future, like in the apocalypse future. How they got there, I can't even remember. But that's when they ran into Rachel, their future daughter. And there he is. There's En-Sabah-Nur. I believe he's the first mutant.
He was the first mutant.
Okay. And then I think after him, I think it was Namor.
Yeah, because they went so half the team went back in time, and then the other half of the team went into the future.
Yes. And I'm hypothesizing that that future is going to be the apocalypse future because we saw
They
En-Sabah-Nur in the past.
days of future past.
So I'm thinking it might go into the whole Age of Apocalypse thing.
Well, because they were saying that Rachel came from Days of Future Past.
Yes. Interesting.
So different timelines, they got fucked up.
Timey,
So
wimey, rhymey, wobbly. Yeah.
yeah.
It's going to get weird because that's the X-Men. It's kind of like a long gestating soap opera. And so they've been rewrites, retcons, and all this stuff. And there's going to be some timey-wimey stuff that's not going to really add up. Like Rachel being born in the future, okay, but when was she born? And then Nathan being sent to the future
From a
as a
different
baby.
dimension, different timeline.
Right.
So
So we're gonna get into all that. But did you see the post credits scene?
oh yeah, I watched shit out of it.
Apocalypse showing up in Genosha.
Yeah.
So much death.
Oh.
Apocalypse, do you think he's gonna resurrect Gambit as a horseman?
Yes, because honestly, Gambit became one of his strongest horsemen.
Did he? I thought that'd be all new.
No, Gambit went Omega
See, I thought.
under Apocalypse.
I see. I only remember him taking. Because I so I think I think I think somebody said that online. They were like, when I was looking at this thing on YouTube, and I enjoy hearing other people's theories, especially on the YouTubes. And this guy was like, "Yeah, there's been other
What?
X-Men." There's been other X-Men as horsemen before, but I only remember Angel.
No. Gambit went Omega level
In
when he
the cartoon or in
was.
the comics?
No, in comics.
Okay.
Yeah. They never showed him as one of Apocalypse's four
Horsemen.
horsemen. Yeah, but he does go Omega level.
I mean, I feel like he already went Omega level right before he died.
Yo, that shit was best death scene
I mean,
ever.
I've seen
I
him do some
mean,
cool shit in the comics, but I never saw him charge up a goddamn sentinel.
it makes sense because he was like, sorry, we got contact, so I'm about to blow your bitch ass up,
Right.
even if I'm going with you.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, he had the burnt card like in his hand, and I think like Sinister, he has regenerative regenerative powers. The judicial system. He has got regenerating powers where he can, like, bring things back to life in a sense, but he's not going to be the Gambit that we know.
Yeah. No, he's gonna come back kind of like a black Superman.
And so, oh, you mean black suit Superman?
Yeah, black suit Superman.
Okay, I thought you just meant he's gonna come back as a black man.
No, not Earth 23 Superman, but black suit Superman.
Kind of like a Michael B. Jordan Superman. Yeah.
Exactly. MBJ. And so he's gonna come back, and then Rogue is gonna try to reason with him and try to bring him back.
Right.
With memories that she has.
Oh, you already know.
Yeah.
By touching him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you already know.
I don't know.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. I'm into that. Speaking of Rogue, she's right behind you. She's right behind your shoulder right there. God damn, look at her.
God damn right.
Oh, man, there's Gambit's pretty face.
Yeah,
That's such a good show.
Yeah, I just got this shit on in the background.
I love it.
Yeah.
And you're wearing her, too.
Oh, my God. Nick, it's Rogue. That is like... Every young black kid's fantasy was Rogue.
I don't have any issue with that. I can totally see. I can totally see why.
Like, we love Rogue like you love Storm.
See? I get that now.
Yeah.
I understand that. Because you already know, I love that Storm. I love that Aurora. You
know? White boots or black boots.
I don't give a fuck. They'll fuck him. I don't give a fuck. Like, and that's another thing. That's a whole other element of this show. Like, this show isn't even, it doesn't over-tantalize on that level, like the way the original does. And I could probably teach a college course on how sexual the original X-Men cartoon is. And there's a reason for that, folks, because the X-Men have always been sexualized. And if you're just cluing into that and you think it's like a pathetic take from, you know, up-and-coming comic artists, I think you need to go back in time and look at the very inception of comics. There's always been a sexuality and a certain pomp.
Just look at Wonder Woman.
I mean, come on. Bondage, S&M?
Oh, she was BDSM all day.
She was tying motherfuckers up.
come on.
So if you read comics the way I read comics, you've always known this. And Jim Lee just came along and made it like he just put it on steroids. You know,
he was like, look, yeah.
But that's probably one of my favorite aspects of the cartoon, even though this more modern iteration, which I love, isn't as overtly sexualized. There's still enough there for me to get excited. You know?
All right. So tell me this.
Riddle me this.
Are you looking forward to the recreation of the Rogue Apocalypse scene?
I will always look forward to any scene at Stonehenge featuring a Rogue on her side. You know what I mean?
With the cheeks out.
Man.
All the cheeks.
I talked about it last episode, too. I feel like I can't stop talking about it. But nothing's ever going to come close to those honey hams.
There were so many adolescent boys who fell in love with this show. Because Apocalypse was about to whoop that ass, and all we saw was booty cheeks. That's it. We didn't see shit.
Well, that's the worst part about it, too. Like, it was such a random scene. He just knocks her down with, like, a blast. He, like, blasts her, and she's like, oh, and she falls down. But then as she hits the ground, she just lands on her side perfectly.
And we was all like...
Yeah, and it's there. And it's freeze frame for at least a solid 30 seconds.
They know what they did.
They know exactly what they did. And that's not the only one. There was plenty of other scenes. She was coming out of the danger room or whatever, all thick and just waiting for it.
Yo, and
I'm sorry, what?
Even through this season,
yes,
like there was so much Savage Land Rogue.
There was a little bit of that.
Yeah. They plugged that in a lot.
We got a little bit of that, and we got a little bit of the what else did we get? I guess that whole Storm transformation scene was pretty hot too.
Oh, that Storm when she, like, all right,
when she went full queen.
She went full queen, so like I'm not a big fan of Mohawk Storm. Not a big fan.
I fuck with it
because I hate Mohawks.
Well, I fuck with hers.
I just hate those. But then when she went to fucking Wakanda Queen Storm.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about that Goblin Queen when she pulled that Basic Instinct move in the chair? She was only there for one episode, but that Madeline Pryor was playing for keeps.
Oh, she wasn't trying to go.
And they didn't give her the full midriff like they... But she had the boots.
Give us that Sharon Stone.
She had the song.
I was like, oh, okay.
So it's always been there. It's always been in my DNA. I'm pretty sure that if there is a devil, like a real devil, right, that wants to somehow gain proprietorship of my soul, you know?
Yeah.
I have a feeling the quickest way to that would be to somehow immerse me in a scantily clad X-Men animated adventure, and then I would just give everything I have.
Game over. Lights out. Game over. You giving up all your credit cards, debit cards? You'll give up your license?
My soul.
Yeah, just your whole soul. You'd be like, nope. I'm in. Just you just trying to clap some cheeks.
It's weird. He could have had asked for anything, and he just wanted to be inside a cartoon.
Yeah. Like, this motherfucker is trying to fuck Emma Snow.
Emma Snow.
Actually, it's Emma Frost.
Emma Frost, no, whatever. Niggas call it.
You gotta cue in that other sound effect.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's Emma Frost.
Nope.
No, the other guy.
I don't give a fuck what you think, bitch.
And that's how I feel about folks that don't want to even give this shit a try. Because honestly, like, I feel like even if you're not a comic book person, you got to give this shit a try. It's that good.
So my thing is what I've been telling people. If they've been watching, like, if they watched this shit when they were kids, I was like, look, just watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, because based off the climate of the world today, everyone's like, oh shit, you know, everything's all woke and, you know, politically correct and all this other shit. I was like, this show is not that. It's just fucking X-Men.
It has a really good balance of treating every single character with the respect and the time that they deserve to have either on screen or like to really show their like powers. No one is marginalized, and at the same time, there's a lot of good diversity on the show and a lot of good highlighting of strong female characters that maybe weren't highlighted as much in the original series, without it being like the overtone of, you know, shoving something down your throat for the sake of being like a, like, we don't have that Infinity War movement moment where all the women on the team were like, we got it. They
all showed up out of nowhere.
Right.
I'm like, look, y'all weren't, logistically, you weren't even in the same place.
Well, actually, Wasp, but there's no way you could have flown over there that fast.
Yeah.
None of that.
It didn't make sense. But they get,
and everyone's motivations make sense too.
Everyone's credit, like, everyone had a good arc. Everyone was respectful, and they did everyone perfect. So, like, just watching the show, I'm like, this isn't woke garbage.
And we get an Omega Red showing up at the last minute.
Yo, Omega Red, he was tired of that shit too. Yo.
I like how he just shows up. He's like, all right, I guess I'll defend some humans against these fucks.
All right, fuck this shit. Fuck these Sentinels.
I'll defend the Russian Prime Minister or whatever the fuck his name is.
Let me do my thing. He whipped the whips out and shit. I mean, the cameos were amazing. Because you know I love C-list characters.
I know you do.
It's my thing.
And I've always loved that Omega Red.
That's,
I mean, he's got these fucking carbonadium tentacles and he can fucking
whips and
he can secrete fucking this weird pheromone thing that kills people. I mean, come
and
on.
And he's got a ponytail.
And he's got a ponytail.
I've always fucked with Omega Red because of the X-Men video games.
Oh, dude. I mean, that's another thing, too. Like, we get a second season, it's just another chance to see that many more appearances from these characters. I feel like because they've hinted at them enough, I feel like we'll see them again in the next season.
See, I need that in the DC universe so I can get some booster gold in my life. I mean, honestly.
You're going to get a booster gold, I think a booster gold show or a movie at some point.
No, we're not. It's not going to happen.
It's part of the slate, they announced.
No. Like, I need BG. Honestly, I was happy when the question showed up in that Justice League movie.
I know you were.
Oh, my God. Bro. And he was like.
He's like, I have a question.
I was like, yes!
Oh, it was good, like, too.
Ask it. Ask the question.
That's why I like that first one, that first Crisis on Infinite Earth. That was really good. That's the second one kind of lost me. I didn't.
It was kind of lackluster.
It was all Supergirl and then Shadow Monsters, and I was like, what? Yeah,
I wasn't a big fan.
But the third one, I mean, just keep it. I don't know. We like seeing them all in a room. Here's what I'll say, and I've said it again, and I've said it time and time again. One of the reasons why Age of Ultron, say what you will about the movie, why it works so well is because we have all the heroes hanging out in a loft, drinking, just talking.
Just shooting the shit.
Like, that's...
Everybody's trying to lift the hammer.
That's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And when you see the X-Men in the show, there's a lot of moments where, whether it's a cluster of a few... Or a couple, or like two, like Jean and Storm have a lot of great moments. But even like Sunspot and Jubilee and like the little team-ups, Wolverine and Morph's banter, all that stuff makes you come back for more. You know what I'm saying? And like, I think that first animated Crisis movie worked so well because you saw all these characters and like
everyone
talking
everyone
with each other.
There. And yeah.
You didn't have that as much in the second one. I feel like that's what makes those big ensemble movies work.
Ensemble.
You know, you got to see them interact. Like this right behind you. Cameos. Yep. Look at that. That January 6th. Look at that behind you. When the X-Men go to the UN. Look, you're missing it. Oh, and Lady Deathstrike shows up. Oh, and we got what? Who we got there? Colossus? Come on now.
Yeah, come on. I fucking love Colossus. So, you know what? You know what? One thing I love about this X-Men series versus the old one?
Mm.
There wasn't too much fucking Wolverine Cyclops bullshit.
It's great, isn't it? When he's like struggling.
They dialed that shit back.
When he's in the bed with the adamantium like sucked out of him and he's healing and he's struggling, Scott says, don't you dare break her heart.
Yep.
You gotta pull through. He knows that Jean loves Logan.
Yeah. He was like, look, I know you miss to steal your girl.
Look, I know you like to cuck. What? I know you like to cuck and watch me fuck. What? You know? So you can't. Don't you break her heart.
Don't you break her fucking heart.
Don't you break her heart. Don't you break her. What if he said that? What if he said, don't you break her fucking heart?
And then this motherfucker turned around and he got to business.
He got to business.
He left him and he was ready to destroy everybody.
Yo, Scott went full anime in this bitch.
Yo, his blast, he was like, I don't care if I die. He was like, I'm gonna light this shit up.
So did that energy thing when it exploded, was that like a black hole? Like sucking everything into it?
Yeah, but so I know Scott's blast. So Scott has a blast. It comes from another dimension.
Hmm?
No, like it's not heat. It's not anything else.
Oh.
So it opens up another dimension. That's where his blasts come from.
I thought it comes out of his eyes.
From his eyes, but it's his eyes are opening up another dimension to torch shit. But it's not like heat. It's not nothing like that.
I thought, so it's always like on the back of those trading cards, it always said concussive optic blast.
Nigga, I got an encyclopedia. Hold on, let me pull this nigga up right here.
Yeah, yeah, let's end the show with this.
All right, let me pull up Cyclops.
Because I never heard that shit. That's like some fucking
mind-altering
shit right there.
Yeah, his shit comes from a different dimension.
It's not fire.
No, it's not fire.
But he can still level a building with it if he blasts hard enough.
Because he's opened up a gateway from another dimension.
But they don't go to said dimension.
No, it's just a gateway for the blast.
Mm. All
right, boom, boom.
And he needs the ruby quartz glasses so it's not just constant on full blast when he opens his eyes.
Correct.
How hard can it be to look up Cyclops in that bitch? Isn't it in alphabetical order? There he is. I hate that suit, too. That's the worst one.
Oh, that's the gayest suit. The one. So gay.
And we are in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because we're bringing that back, apparently. So what does it say about his optic blasts opening dimension doors?
All right. Boom, 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 boom. All right.
Because I'm going to save you the trouble. I'm about to Googs that shit and beat you to it.
All right. Duty leader. And honestly, he's on par with Captain America with strategies.
Wait a minute.
All right.
While the comics themselves rarely go into it, Cyclops' optic beams actually come from an alternate non-Einsteinian dimension.
You're welcome.
Of near limitless power. His eyes only serve as apertures to that space, meaning they're like little portals that the energy pours out of rather than a force his eyes produce.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
Holy shit. That has to be a new development.
No.
Because that was not like in the inception of his character.
It's always been that way.
I don't think it has.
No.
I'm not trying to discredit you. I'm saying like I think they probably developed that within the last...
I have an encyclopedia.
Probably 20 years, I would say.
I have an encyclopedia.
I'm saying when Stan Lee created him, he wasn't like, his eye blasts come from... I guarantee you that was
it
like...
It wasn't heat vision.
No, I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying, like, I think that sounds like something that was recently explored within the last 15 to 20 years.
Nope, they're just portals from another dimension that emit blasts.
We're going to get fucking full hammer. Punch dimension, apparently, is a thing. Hold on. Hold on.
Oh, shit. All right, hold on.
What is punch dimension?
Oh, god damn it. Let me
punch dimension was a dimension of pure, endless concussive force. It was briefly accessed by America Chavez to use against the invading Chitauri. This dimension is a reference to an infamous explanation for the powers of the X-Men Cyclops. It originated in the first print of the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. The handbook originally positioned... See, that's what I just said. The handbook originally positioned the Cyclops' eyes contain interdimensional apertures. So again... The handbook came up with this. This was not something that came out when he was created.
Nigga didn't have heat vision.
I didn't say he did. I don't know why you keep saying that.
That's what you're trying to say.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that the dimensional thing is a new explanation.
What else is his blast going to be other than heat if it wasn't the interdimensional energy?
I don't think they ever explained it. That's what I'm trying to get at. I think Stan Lee was initially just like, he just shoots lasers.
Like, all right, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, okay. I think,
all right, that makes sense
because it was like the 60s. Yep. So, I mean, you know, I guarantee you in the 60s, they weren't like punch dimension. This sounds like some fucking
hold on.
I got nothing.
Oh, you didn't get that one?
Nope.
Oh,
what?
That's better, but that is interesting. That's fascinating. You learn something new every day, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why Cyclops has stupid potential.
Right.
Because when he goes nuts, he can fuck people up.
Absolutely.
But people just see him as a fucking pussy.
Right.
But he's just reserved. He's like, I'm team captain. I can't wreck everything.
Right.
But Cyclops is a fucking badass.
Yeah, he is. And it's great that he's... finally getting the love that he deserves. He's not getting bitched out like James Morrison got bitched out in Last Stand, you know?
Yo, episode one of this show, he came out and everyone's like, all right, this motherfucker ain't playing.
So Cyclops is a badass. Magneto was right.
Magneto, what? My favorite fucking villain of all time.
Oh, he's a great villain.
Tell people, No one understands. I'm like, Magneto's the best villain of all time because you know what? He ain't wrong.
Because that's what a good villain is. Right? Because bad guys are bad guys. But a good villain, a truly good villain is somebody that you see their side of it.
Yeah. And he was like, you know what? Fuck these motherfuckers.
Right.
And then you see him get done wrong. And I'm like, you know what? Get they ass.
Oh, I mean, come on. He's a Holocaust survivor, for Christ's sake.
Bro, at that point, I'm going scorched earth.
He's seen humanity at its worst.
The absolute worst.
So it's not wrong to think that, oh, maybe the earth should be flattened and taken back to the Ice Age.
Yeah, dude, Magneto has always been my favorite villain because I get it.
Yeah, you sympathize with him, you empathize with him. But ultimately, I mean, I always got to go side with Charles. I mean,
fuck Charles.
I said it before and I'll say
Charles
it again.
Is a bitch.
I got to pull for hope. I got to pull for hope.
No, fuck that. No, I don't like.
And I have to pull for hope.
I don't like people playing on my phone.
I don't like people playing on my phone either, but I know when keeping it real goes wrong. Exactly. I'm also pulling for hope in the character sense because I'm hoping we see Hope Summers show up in the next season. That would be Cable's daughter. That'd be cool.
I saw her in the encyclopedia earlier.
Yeah, that could be some good, cool shit there. So,
all right, so
this could go a lot of places.
So, honestly, and then we can get some little zoom, zoom, zoom.
Hold up, though. Is Logan, like, still in the hospital bed, like, back in time? Or is
Logan fucked up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is he going to wake up, like, because as far as I could tell, Psyche and Jean were the only ones in the future. Yeah. And everybody else is in the past.
Logan's back there.
So is he, like,
all his adamantium stripped.
What if he's not, though? What if him and Morph are somewhere else in time?
It would be him and Morph, wouldn't it?
What if they're, like, straight up in the Savage Land circa, you know, dinosaur time? Well, I guess there's always dinosaurs in the Savage Land. But, yeah, I mean, because he's just in a hospital bed. Like, he's going to wake up, and, like, with his bone claws, like, where the fuck am I? You know?
Yeah, because he's going to have the bone claws because Magneto stripped all his anime. Mm-hmm. Yo, that shit was brutal, too.
So brutal.
Let's talk about that scene.
I never thought I'd see that on screen.
Animated. Right. And he was just like, you know what? Fuck you.
And a lot of it was pulled right from the comics, too, like word for word, like the script and everything.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And I liked the throwback, too, because Magneto had initially said that it's the bravest ones that die first. And so it's neat when Logan dropped that, I've been in a lot of wars, bub.
Yeah.
The brave ones always die first.
Dude.
And you know what? Even though Magneto, I know you're on the Magneto fan club, Wolverine wasn't necessarily wrong either. He's like, the only way he's going to go down is if you kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not going to go down with reason.
You can't talk Wolverine down.
Because even when Xavier and Magneto are fighting about it, he's like, Charles. I don't know why he's Irish all of a sudden, or Scottish. Charles. He's like, Charles.
Charles.
He meant to murder me, Charles. It's like, well, I don't have any comeback for that. You're right. He was going to gut you. He did, in fact, gut you with three claws.
He was right? Like, yeah, got
right, him. Right through your sternum. You magically healed those super fast. I'm convinced that all the mutants have a small healing factor.
Everyone has to have
one. Because Storm got blasted by that Sentinel, and she came right back.
Storm should have been dead.
Everybody gets hit with shit. Jubilee, Cable got his ass handed to him.
Sunspot, Cable, everyone should have been dead. Dead.
Bastion took Cable's arm off of him and then beat him with it.
Okay, first of all, the disrespect.
That's so disrespectful.
He was like, yeah, what?
How are you going to take a man's arm off and then beat him with it?
Yeah.
And then melt it and turn it into your body. What? Exactly.
Like, you can't do that. Yo. But Bastion, I like when he went full Archangel.
Mm.
Yo, his final form was dope.
I liked it when his face was melting off and he was even creepier.
Yeah.
And then when they tried to offer him a hand, when that energy thing was black-holing the fuck out of everything, and he just kind of scoffed at them like, and then went right to hell.
He was like,
yeah, basically.
Yeah, fuck y'all, I'm out.
He was a good villain, though.
Good villain?
Like, good villain in the sense that, like, okay, you're definitely on the fucking nutsoid end of the department, but I see why, I understood his motivations.
I like that he had the power of, like, a technomancer, or whatever it was. So, like, he was like, well, I can't control minds, but I can control machines.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it in the world today, that's more powerful.
I mean, I was talking about that a little bit on the last episode. Like, we're already kind of there.
Yeah.
Like, even now.
Everything's... people are buying fucking computer cars now.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I got an EV. I got a Tesla. I'm like, you're driving a computer.
We got your car for your car so you could drive while you drive.
Yeah. We drive while you drive. Yeah, no. So honestly, he would be dangerous as fuck in 2024.
I guess that's why they kept calling him the future. Like, he is the future incarnate. Like, he is the future of, like, technology and humanity.
Yep. He was like, I talk to computers. I deal with computers. And then, like, he can get them to do his bidding.
We've come a long way from the old black screens and green text and floppy disks, you know?
I miss floppy disks.
I mean, I enjoyed a good floppy.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the real floppies that would actually flop.
Oh, yeah, the 3x5s. Yeah.
He'd be like, hold on. Gotta blow into the and then put it back in.
Yep.
So you can play, like, a game with two rectangles.
Mars.
And then we moved on to Minesweep.
I love Minesweep. Minesweep and Solitaire, of course.
Minesweep was hard as fuck.
Well, first of all, no one understood it.
No, you'd like, do I move the bombs or do I move the blocks?
Yeah, I'm just clicking boxes and hopefully I win this bitch. That's what Minesweep was.
And don't even get me started on that Oregon Trail.
First of all, it's one of the greatest games ever created.
Second of all, you got dysentery.
I have died of dysentery so many times.
I have had meager meals. And I had to fix a wheel axle and didn't have enough supplies because I spent too much on bullets. Because I enjoyed shooting the buffalo.
And don't let me try to fucking float across the river.
Oh my God, forget about it. Forget about it.
Death.
Instant.
Death. I know I'm going to die. I knew I was going to die.
If we go back in time, God help me. God help me. I hope I go back to an era where at least they have penicillin.
Just, that's all I need.
Can you imagine, like, falling dead at age 28 from the common cold?
Common cold?
You know?
Or fucking syphilis?
Oh.
You know, whatever.
Wait, why is it going to be syphilis?
Huh?
And that's the show, kids. Whatever we said on this episode, whether you pondered your existence, questioned your own mortality or morality... just remember at the end of the day, it is just fiction. Go get tested. Always wear a condom.
Wrap it up.
Huh?
Wrap it up.
Okay. All right. You're actually endorsing that. I
don't, but the rest of y'all do.
Because he's been in a lot of wars, bub.
I'm out here in these streets.
And the bravest ones always die first.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job, had second hands. Moms bounced on old men. So then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. Low goose, only way I begin to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gats for fun. But it was just a dream for the teen who was a fiend. Started smoking wools at 16. And running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way off fire escapes. No question, I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I will flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up right boys on board court. My life. life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route, so I got with a sick tight click and went all out. Catching keys from cross seas, rolling in MPVs. Every week we made 40 G's. Yo, brothers, respect mine. I ain't gonna take now. Bow, move from the gate.